I know Pastor Dave is looking down and he's proud of this group. I know it. I know it. He's smiling upon us. He's just in a different dimension. Yeah, so we will continue and do what God has started. And the irony of this, we need each other. We need each other. We need to be connected, not feeding just of each other, but the Holy Spirit, which keeps the unity. Because it's by Him and through Him, that comforter, that helper, that He has put here on this earth when Jesus went up, that is the uniter, if we dare to come to Him. There's a scripture that I think I shared this today with somebody already, and I will never stray from that scripture, is my people perish for their lack of knowledge. We do not want to perish for the lack of knowledge. So it is up to us to educate ourselves in the things of God and what He wants from us, so we can give and pass His own to many, many more. It's kind of ironic. This message I had was given to me about almost 3 weeks ago. I got up at early in the morning, and I would say penned it, but I typed it as fast as my one finger can type. And here we are. This is the message that I have. I had it originally entitled An Autobiography of the Family of God, but I changed it a bit. What has made you part of the family of God? Or are you part of the family of God? It has something to do with being part of a family that He set up, and he made the rules on how you get into the family, and the man who makes the rules of the house in our natural setting, he will not change the rules, even though he's an earthly father, and he might bend the rules a bit, but our Heavenly Father, the rules He made and how you get in, they're very strict, and once you're in, they're just as strict to keep you in. So I'm going to explain everything as I go through this, but before I get into this message, let's rise and ask the Lord for His blessings. Heavenly Father, I thank You so much for Your grace and Your love and Your mercy that You have for us, Lord. We will always be at Your mercy and always depend on Your grace and on Your love to guide us. Lord, help us to grow in all of those, in mercy, in grace, and in love towards one another. Lord Jesus, so that we will not see each other's faults, but each other's strong points. And I know, Lord Jesus, that it's the goodness of God that leads people to repentance. Eventually, it'll be the harshness of You, but now it's the goodness of God, and I thank You for Your goodness. You will bless everyone. You'll bless the ears of the listeners, and that Your Holy Spirit will be present here. In Jesus' name I ask this. Amen. You may be seated. So God's family is parallel to an earthly family. So let's compare God's family to an earthly family, if you will. So let's suppose we do have a family here on earth, and let's look how it's structured and made up. You have a father, a mother, their children. And as we all know, becoming their children by birth, what the Bible calls you're born of water. That's what the natural birth is. It's called born of water. So you are forever now part of the DNA made up of that family, those parents. You can never separate it. Doesn't matter. No science. Nothing can ever separate you from that family. You can run away, you can do all whatever you want. You cannot undo it. And a very important point I want to make is you're born once into that family, not twice, not 10 times, just once. That made you part of that family. Now, all the neighbors of that family, let's just suppose that, know that family. They know everyone who belongs to that household and who can go in and out anytime they choose, simply because they're part of that family. They belong to that family. They even know if a certain child doesn't have the best relationship with the parents. Now, that's from the outside looking in. They even, nonetheless, you will never have to explain to those parents or even to the neighbors that are the onlookers that he or she is and always will be a child of that family. That does not change that. They, the neighbors, know who the mother and father is. They know the relationship between the children and the parents. Even the relationship of the children with each other, whether it's good or bad, who the prodigal one is, or even who the self-righteous one is. And also the one who has the best relationship with the parents. We've got all three scenarios play out in families sometimes. It doesn't change the fact that those children belong to that family. So nonetheless, no matter the status, they are still a family, made so by the natural birth. And we all have no problem accepting that even after many generations have passed, this fact will remain, that the children belong to those parents all of their natural lives. You can look down the genealogy, even in the Bible. We can see who begat who, They were part of that DNA. Couldn't change it. So now we'll take a look at our heavenly family. This one's eternal, forever, never ending. It's a parallel, but this one is far more enduring. We have a heavenly Father who has begotten us through Jesus to make us to be seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. In this way, the Bible is very allegorical and uses parallels and illustrations between spiritual and the natural all the time. And here it's no different. So let's see how we became part of the family of God. And again, I'll talk personal. You pretend it's yourself. How did he become part of this family? That's the biggest question of all this message. This has to be answered and can only be answered by you. So once we realize our spiritual condition, that we're hopelessly lost, we need help, we turn to Jesus. Guess what happens then? That's where the born from above experience happens. You become born again. Not once, not twice, not 10 times, once. You cannot be born again over and over and over. It happens once. The question for you is, when were you born again or born from above? And Satan and his demons know exactly when that moment happened for you. And what he's going to set out to do is make you know what actually happened there. That's his conquest now. And he will play on your mind for as long as you allow him or we allow him to keep us in fear and also to destroy us from the lack of knowledge of who we are once we've been born again or born from above. That's his biggest weapon in the beginning, is to keep you from knowing what you have become. That's power, and this power belongs to him for a bit. But it can quickly change, and that is up to us. And he, from that point on, tries to confuse us and keep us ignorant of what we have become in Christ. He also knows who of God's children has a deep relationship with the Father and Jesus, and also those who don't have the best relationship with the Father. Nonetheless, he still sees they belong to the family of God, but he tries to keep you from knowing that. That's his goal. And when the relationship is good between the Father and the children, our Heavenly Father, the children know the Father deeply, there is very little, actually there is nothing Satan can do to these children because they have taken the time to understand who they are in Christ. That's freeing. This is what the good news of Jesus Christ is. It's not only being saved, it's knowing who you are in Christ. It is so freeing to know this. That's when my freedom happened, when I understood who I am in Christ. I don't argue with people anymore about assurance of salvation or once saved, all who saved. I don't know why we even call that. Saved needs no help. It's saved. You are saved or you're not. But on the other hand, when the relationship is not so good, he takes advantage of those children, he here is Satan and his cohorts, of those children, and plays on the security of their minds on whether they can come to the Father as they please. So now there's a bit of a schism there between the Father and the children. But it doesn't change. I continue here. Whether they can come in and out and find pasture as they pleased. In other words, have complete confidence in the Father. Trust him, regardless of what. It can come to a point where a child of God can completely lose his or her trust in the Father and the Son. And when insecurity sets in because of the lack of communication between the Father and the Son, and this could happen by when you spend more time in the things of this world than in the things of God. Nonetheless, it does not change your status as a child. You still belong to God. And I have scripture for this, so don't worry. Made so by the born-again experience, born from above, as the John writer writes. So the separation is only in the child's mind. But that separation was never in the father's heart or mind, because he knows exactly who belongs to him. And out of those that have become his, he will lose how many? He will lose none. So, again, I want to really emphasize here, you need to be born again for this to happen. And it's not a matter of if, but a matter of when you stray from the fold, that he will get you back. He will get you back if you have become a child of God, if you do stray. Now, the self-righteous ones, they fare no better than the prodigal ones. I'm going to take a bit of a look at the ones who are, and this I take out of the brother who was very self-righteous on the prodigal son parable there, where the prodigal wasted his sustenance on just horrible living and just squandered everything he had, and the father accepted him back. But the other one, he was no better. He was actually, to me, he was worse off than the other one, because he had everything the father had to offer, but he didn't take advantage of it. So it's the judgmental attitudes of the self-righteous children is not any better for the family of God than the prodigal ones. The prodigal ones do most of the damage to themselves. But the self-righteous ones, this is my opinion, I think they do more damage to the family of God. They have no mercy, no grace for children that have strayed. And he had very little love for his brother who had strayed. He was merciless. He couldn't see the father's love. Father seeing him afar off, coming already. Once he had changed his mind, the father already started to run to meet him. So the father is waiting for, they have no mercy, no grace for children that have strayed, who the father is waiting for with open arms to cloak and to give a ring and to celebrate with a fatted calf. Satan has controls of the minds of these children, the self-righteous and the prodigals alike. The one who has no confidence in the father, always trying to earn his trust. The other separated by sinful lifestyle, where you lose or have no relationship with the father because of bad choice lifestyles. A bad choice lifestyle, just like the prodigal son. He still was a son. Doesn't say prodigal, not son. He was still a son. So how do I know all this? Because I've lived on both sides of this as a born-again child of God. And I want to emphasize, I had accepted Christ as my Savior while this was happening to me. I'm being real here and honest with you. Living in sin, then flipping to the other side, the other extreme, trying to balance the scale, thinking I was doing God and myself a favor by trying to live by the letter of the law. But in reality, I was perishing from the lack of knowledge of who Christ had made me in him. Talk about setting myself up for failure. And this I did in ignorance as a believer. And I want to add something here which I don't have in here. This message has been taught to me by Pastor Dave over the years. He's the one who planted this seed within me. But I had to search it out myself. I had to find it myself. And once I found it, I can now preach it with conviction and knowing full well this is how the gospel works. So all the price we have to pay when we do not dig for and find that place of rest in Jesus that the writer of Hebrews writes about. We're always arguing and trying to prove that we're right, because you never ask the right questions and wait for the correct answers on that perfect gift that will set you free once and for all. This is to those who do not believe that Christ has made you free once and for all. He has set you free to want to live for Christ and not have to. There's a difference. When I was religious, I had to do those things. It was a had to. When I became born again, it switched from having to wanting to. Now I want to serve Christ. Did I know in the beginning how to do it? No, that was a learning curve. There was a learning process with that. And with time, I started to understand as I studied the Word and what and it is how we ought to please God. We don't make rules and regulations here in this church on how you do things. If you want to come to church, that's fine. If you don't, that's your loss. But nonetheless, you're free to do what you want. You're even free to dress the way you want. But I'll tell you this, dress to impress the Holy Spirit. And you will dress properly without us having a set of rules on how to dress. So there's no more debating whether you can lose your salvation or are saved. You get to know Jesus and the Father in a deep and honest relationship with Him. And over time, the arguing over that subject will just cease or vanish. So in Matthew, putting up my first scripture, in Matthew, first chapter, verse 21, it says, talking about Jesus, and he shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. You notice what he says here? It doesn't say he stopped you from sinning, but he'll save you from your sins. I'm going to get deeper into this. But rather, so he doesn't stop you from sinning, but rather it produces an attitude change towards sin. This is what the born-again experience did. It didn't stop you from sinning. That's a gradual thing. But it changed your attitude towards sin. And that comes from the born-again experience. That should put us on a path of grace and walking in the Spirit where we don't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. But again, this is what happens. My people perish for the lack of knowledge and the lack of vision. There's two things where God's people perish because they do not learn on how to live in freedom and to bring this freedom to others. Instead, we get saved and then we find some doctrine to push and we push that onto people instead of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Now, there are some who give up, some children who give up after a season, and some become religious, self-righteous, always judging those who do not measure up to their standards. And this will happen every time we stray away from the power of the cross of Jesus Christ. It's prone and bound to happen because you have lost sight of the simplicity of the gospel of what Jesus Christ has set up. God chose the foolishness of preaching of the cross to be our power source, to overcome all and everything Satan can and will throw at you. So there is nothing that this power source cannot take care of in your life. The only problem is we allow Satan to detour us away from this. It's the power of the cross of Jesus Christ that can enable us to go to the next level. And you know what? It's only to continue unto the cross and the power of Jesus Christ, because that is where the power is at. So this is our common denominator that will again unite the church of Jesus Christ, is if we get away from how to dress, how to conduct ourselves, or how what church to follow, what denomination is right. No, we're all children of God, and we need to reunite under the same banner, and that is to preach the gospel and to set the captives free. Jesus gave that at the end of Mark when he said, "Go you into all the world, preaching the gospel." He says, casting out devils, healing the sick. He gave us what we should do. It said signs and wonders shall follow them. We're not even supposed to go after signs and wonders. They're supposed to come after us. So signs and wonders followed them that believe. So if you believe, don't worry if signs and wonders aren't there. You don't even know what happens when you go through and tell people about Jesus. Maybe the testimonies will come, follow you later what has happened. And that's the power of the gospel, of the cross of Jesus Christ. It's foolish, and that God chose that part of because to confound the wise. And where we will realize as the body of Christ, the church, where our power source is and comes from. And we will then come against the gates of hell, and they will not prevail, according to what Jesus told Peter the apostle. Now let's take a closer look at the ones who found that security, those who know who they are in Christ, those who know that they belong to the Father no matter what. As Pastor Dave put it, they that know that they know they belong to God. That was always his challenge. They have gotten to know the heart of the Father by studying the Word. Again, they perish not for the lack of knowledge. In Leviticus 20, verse 26, if you want to throw that up, "And you shall be holy unto me, for I, the Lord, am holy." And have severed. That severed there means separated you from other people, that you should be mine. This is a promise of God all the way jumped ahead to the New Testament. This is what God did through Christ. He has separated us forever. And again, I have to make sure this is through the born-again experience. And if you do not have this confidence, you need to go back to point question number one. Have you been born again? You see, there are three types of Christians. Let me explain. There's the prodigals who become saved and they wander away. They're a prodigal son or daughter. And the self-righteous ones, son or daughter. And the ones who have studied to show themselves that God approves of them. They're the wise ones. The self-righteous lose out on so much by not taking advantage of the things God has for them to use and to enjoy. The things that are freely given to us by God to enjoy. Because they're so caught up in being a people pleaser that they forget to enjoy life. And to those who are looking for an angle to discredit my message, I am not talking about losing out on sinful lifestyle. That's not losing out. When I preach once saved, always saved, and the grace of God, I am not condoning that you live in sin and that's what you go after. However, when you're a child of God, you do fall. We all fall. But there's the grace of God that will take us out of that. And we need to recognize that and not kick somebody while he's down, but help him up. Now, I look from a father's perspective, which our Heavenly Father. So in our Heavenly Father's heart, the mind and mind, he never lost sight or loses sight of any of his children. He knows exactly who they are and where they are, how close they are to him, and how far they've drifted away, and what he needs to do to get them back into the fold. A lost sheep to the Father does not mean an eternal lost sheep. He will go and find that lost sheep no matter what it takes. Psalm 89, verse 30 to 34. If his people, I'll put it in a more personal way, if my people forsake my laws and walk not in my judgments, this is now God talking to his people, to us. If they break my statutes and keep not my commandments, then will I visit their transgressions and with the rod and their iniquity. Need I remind you what an iniquity is? That is a willful sin. And their iniquity with stripes. So there is a condition that comes from you living in sin as a child. Just that, like that there is a condition when your kids in your own house as a father and mother, when they stray from those rules, there is a condition. There are some punishments involved. So this is the same thing that will happen to you. And if you're not punished, and if nothing happens, if you do live in sin, I would be worried. I really would be worried of who I am in Christ. Because the Bible says God chastens those whom he loves. And the chastisement comes when we do not live and do things that are pleasing to the Father. And then it says, "Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him or them, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail." His promises still stand. You are still a child of him. "My covenant will I not break, nor after the things that have gone out from my lips." Now, some people say, but I can break the covenant. If you could break the covenant, then you do not understand salvation. This covenant was made God swearing to himself, because he knew he cannot trust any of us to keep this. You have the ability to walk away, but he has the ability to override that walking away by bringing you back into the fold every time you think you could walk away. And again, if you've been born again, that attitude is never in your mind. So if that attitude of walking away is in your mind, question whether you've been born again, because it is not part of my vocabulary or my thought life that I will walk away. Have I been angry with God? Absolutely. I'm sure you all been. That does not bring forth within you to want to walk away from a God that has redeemed you. The mental anguish that that people put themselves in, respectively, when they are that sheep that stray from the fold. So they're hurting themselves, completely lost, always in danger of losing your life to the devourer. And then to top it off, you argue also from that ignorant perspective and think you can convince others of why they can't be 100% sure of their salvation. That's what always happens with people who don't know. They argue. They argue from a position of not being 100% sure. But when you're 100% sure, you don't need to argue anymore. And also, that it is not possible to have security from your position as a lost sheep. So why would you have a position like that? If you're a lost sheep, you can't even know that you're for sure saved because you're not taking advantage of what God has. And the self-righteous child of the Father fares no better. That's the sad price that you have to pay for not knowing the good shepherd or finding the place of rest that the writer of Hebrews writes about in Hebrews 4, 10 and 11. For he that has entered into his rest, he also ceased from his own works as God did from his. And then he encourages us. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest. That's not talking about heaven. That's the place of rest here where you find rest for your souls. Lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. And if you do not find that place of rest, you will end up with a heart and mind full of anguish. No trust, no deep peace of mind and heart. I want to close my message with this, a challenge to us all, especially to people who don't have security or assurance of salvation. My question is this. So to you, which child have you become since you've become born again? Are you a prodigal child, squandering your inheritance, a self-righteous child, never learning and understanding what's yours to be freed, freely used, or that child who works out his salvation with fear and trembling and now knows and understands that it is God that works within you to work that out. And he's the one who keeps you from for all eternity, starting the second you became born again, living and growing in his grace. Start paying attention to who you hang out with and what you talk about. What is occupying most of your time mentally, physically, and spiritually? Is it constructive to the body of Christ or is it divisive? That, my friends, is what determines which one of these determines who you are and which of these three categories you fall under. So think carefully, answer carefully, challenge yourself. And one final question, this is to everybody. Are you a soldier of the cross of Jesus Christ or an accuser or a divider of the brethren or the body of Christ? You're one of the two. What are you doing with your time on earth? If there's a brother or a sister that you do not like is preaching on radio, whether it's a woman or a man, they're born again, you will run into them in heaven and have to make things right. If you're born again, that's your ticket to heaven. However, there are conditions and things that you will still need to make right, one way or the other. Here, do it now. It says, before you go to the altar, make things right with your brother. Then go give your sacrifice. So, in closing, I encourage you that we and all of us unite under the banner of the cross of Jesus Christ of Calvary. This is what makes us powerful as a unit. I do not understand why, but it's that simplicity that God has chosen to actually confound the wise. Amen and amen. Thank you, Jesus.